Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Pharma Labs Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shashank Krishnakumar from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the 2Q and 1H FY26 earnings conference call of Aarti Pharma Labs hosted by Emkay Global. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for giving us this opportunity to host. We have with us today Mr. Rashesh Gogri, the Chairman, Mrs. Hetal Gogri Gala, the Vice Chairperson and Managing Director, and Mr. Piyush Lakhani, the Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking in nature, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the business faces. I shall now hand over the call to Mr. Piyush Lakhani for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shashank. Welcome, everyone. Good evening. Rashesh Bhai would be joining us in a few moments, so allow me to read out the opening speech. Welcome to Aarti Pharma Labs earnings call for the second quarter of the financial year 2025-26. Thank you for taking out time to join us today. I'll be walking you through the Q2 FY26 performance and highlighting key developments across our businesses. Let me start with an overview of our standalone financials for Q2 FY26. The top line for the quarter was rupees 417 crores, which was 377 crores a year back, which is an increase of 11% YOY. The EBITDA stood at rupees 75 crores as compared to rupees 85 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year. The profit after tax for the Q2 FY26 was rupees 31 crores as compared to rupees 48 crores a year back. In this quarter, PAT had an impact of forex loss of around 7.4 crores. Now I'll talk about this in consolidated financials for the Q2 FY26. The top line stood at rupees 418 crores as against rupees 458 crores in Q2 of FY25. The EBITDA for the quarter, that is quarter two FY26, stood at rupees 75 crores as compared to rupees 94 crores in the Q2 of last year. The profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 28 crores as compared to rupees 55 crores a year back. Now let me present a few business highlights. Aarti Pharma Labs operates across three key verticals: Xanthine derivatives, API and intermediates, and CDMO/CMO services. The Xanthine derivatives segment contributed 51% of our turnover in Q2. The volume split was 71% beverage customers and 29% others. In terms of geographical split, the export sales was 59%, and the remaining 41% was local sales. Coming to API and intermediates, this business stood at 39% of the turnover. The subsegment-wise breakup is 55% regulated market, 31% rest of the world, and 14% non-regulated market. The API business saw high margin pressure. Moreover, the API sales mix in this quarter was skewed towards lower margin APIs. The third segment, CDMO/CMO, has contributed 10% to the revenue for this quarter. We are presently working with 21 customers. The number of active projects is now 59, of which 39 projects are in commercial stage and 20 are under different stages of development, both at customer's end. We are on track to achieve and exceed the earlier estimated sales target, which is 30%-40% growth YOY. Let me now discuss an update on the projects. We inaugurated the Atali plant in September and have started operations. Currently, we are in the process of taking trial batches of a few products for customer qualifications. More products are planned in upcoming months. We expect the facility to be fully operational in two to three quarters, thus contributing meaningfully to the revenue from FY27. Zentin expansion is ongoing as planned. We are now operating around 500 metric tons per month. The incremental capacity will get operationalized in phases, and we expect to reach 9,000 metric tons per annum installed capacity by end of this financial year. Looking ahead for the full year, we revise our EBITDA growth guidance to 8 to 12% growth YOY in FY26. Our long-term business strategy is to target growth while maintaining financial discipline. We are confident that long-term customer relationships and strong technical capabilities will continue serving as pillars of our progress. The moderator may now open the forum for a Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are. Yes.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of things. First, on the gross margin side. So both gross margins and EBITDA margins have fallen sharply quarter on quarter as well as year on year. And I'm talking about standalone margins only. So the gross margins are down by roughly around 5% year on year compared to the last year, September 24 quarter. So I understand that you have given reason in your presentation as well as your inaugural speech with regards to issues on the API and intermediate business. But when we look at the segment-wise sales also, Zentin is better compared to last year. And in fact, overall API sales are much lower than last year. And CDMO sales are higher than last year. So how do we understand this margin fall? If you could share some more details about and what is the sustainable gross margin we should look ahead for?
Yeah, Rahul. So basically, if you see, we have still maintained our CDMO, CMO, top line guidance. And actually, we have stated today that we are going to exceed it. And now we have two quarters left. So in these two quarters, we have to deliver the product and exceed our guidance. And for that, you know, we have had to use our facilities to produce these, products for these projects, which are in the intermediate stage. So they have taken up some capacity, which has resulted in largely the, little bit lower impact on the overall EBITDA number. But that impact will get, wounded up in the next coming couple of quarters, basically. So as you know that, we have fungible plants which are being used for the CDMO business as well as the intermediate business. And that's where the capacity gets utilized depending on the priorities and the profitabilities of the projects. And of course, CDMO projects get priority over sometimes the intermediate business. So that is one reason for the overall, slowness that you have seen. Of course, second reason that we have stated that last year we had a couple of products which were launched in last year. So we had huge sales of these products with good margins and which, of course, in a second year of genericization, there are more players who have entered the market and, of course, the margins always come under pressure. So till now, we have never had such large launch of these kind of products in past which could hamper our overall margin percentage. But that has happened in last year we had good launch and this year, of course, this is the second year. So that's where the impact has come. So overall, that's what, grossly summarizes the overall, changes in the number that you are seeing in the results. And also this quarter we had, of course, non-EBITDA based I think foreign exchange loss was also one of the component which of course had an impact. I think overall.
Sorry, go ahead, sir. Sorry, just.
Yeah, you were saying something.
No, sir, you were saying something overall.
Yeah, overall, I think the EBITDA number, overall EBITDA margins, we normally like to give overall guidance on growth only, absolute numbers. So because percentage point depends on which market I am pushing which product, and it can vary little bit up and down. So I'm not too much worried about the overall percentage EBITDA over top line.
Sure.
Thank you.
Got it.
Yeah.
And sir, with regards to the overall API business, so when we look at the full year this year, last year we have done around 770 crore sales, and in the previous call, you had guided for growth on that sales for the full year. So as we speak today, with some and with your comments.
Yeah, basically in the this quarter, we had a lot of intermediate manufacturing which suck up the overall capacities for CDMO, so which will get freed up in the last, you know, this coming quarters, so which will result in higher API overall number going forward. Yeah, Rahul.
I hope that answers your question, Mr. Vinay.
Rahul.
Anyway. I think he has dropped, so we can take someone else.
Yes. Next question is from Ahmed from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the Zensar business. What was the current capacity production in current quarter, which is quarter two of 2026, and compared to that, what was the production last year? And a parallel question to this is, with the new brownfield expansion, while expanding the capacity, will the volumes be impacted for the Q3 and Q4, or you think the volumes will expand from the current quarter's numbers?
Hey, we are not sharing the absolute production numbers. We are just giving the overall Zensar numbers quarter-wise. So we are not giving the pointed numbers every quarter. So I wouldn't like to share the data for confidentiality reasons. However, you know, we are operating at a higher level now, and with the debottlenecking that I was earlier, I had guided that the capacity will get debottlenecked. And actually, our expansions that we have done is we are taking care that we are not impacting the current running capacity, even though they are brownfield expansion. So actually, we are getting capacity released, and we are, you know, doing higher and higher capacity than the earlier months.
Okay. Second question was on the CDMO business. We have seen some changes in the commercial projects in first half of 2026 from the under development project. Does that give you any contractual visibility for next year? And it seems management is confident about the current year's guidance. Can you give some sense of new projects, and how do you see the visibility for FY 2027?
Yeah, actually, I think the number of projects which are getting into the commercialized space is a good thing, and we have actually shifted almost 7-8 products there, and which have resulted in basically launches which have or approvals which have come in this last couple of quarters, so which is really encouraging. And now that variability of whether that project will pass the approval of FDA and EDQM and other agencies away, and we are likely to see good potential sales of this product. And what happens is that once you are into this approved list from the phase two, phase three, and you are plugged in as a source, long-term visibility gets created. Of course, you know, first couple of years, there will be little bit of uncertainty related to launch and how much market share or how much big the brand becomes. But once the brand sales stabilizes, then, you know, we have really good visibility going ahead of these kind of products, projects that we do.
Okay. And, just on the API business, there was first Rahul asking questions earlier, right? So we have seen some weakness in first half of 26 compared to last year. We had a very strong last year. Can you give some outlook for the API business in second half of 2026, considering Atali CapEx is already on? So will you be able to utilize that, or how do you see the trajectory of API business in second half? And I think we had 2-3 very good products, couple on hyperintensive side and I think one on the respiratory side. So do you see those products again coming back with high volumes, or with the growth will be driven by new launches?
I think we have a portfolio of the API business that we say is comprises of API and intermediate business both together. So as I have explained earlier, you know, we are selling commercial APIs largely. So APIs that we do are general APIs, lifestyle APIs. We are also doing the steroidal APIs, and we are also doing anti-cancer based APIs. And we have been focusing more on lifestyle and anti-cancer APIs of late, and we have done a lot of R&D as well as the filings for the new projects, and these will get launched next. Every year we will have few launches, this kind of project. And as these launches, you know, double-edged sword. So when you launch the product, you get a bump. And you know, if the second year is not as large as that year and other products don't support, then you know, you see a little bit of dip. So if you see last year, we saw a good jump earlier year on the API business, but this year earlier projections were there that, you know, the customers would buy, but of course there is a lot of competition, and I think people have stocked up, and the prices have also come little bit under for these few products, couple of products that have launched. So now I think of course our regular products which have been recognized for many products. So we will have to await for the new launches, and you know, we have new launches and new products, you know, which will get factored. So we will improve on our first half performance in second half for the API business.
Sure. I have a few more questions. I'll join back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, my first question was on the Atali project. I think that started in the first week of September. So, how should we, since it's a large project, capex of around 450 crores, so how should we see its cost, either on the employee cost, other expenses, and finance cost and depreciation hitting our quarterly numbers in coming 2 quarters? And hopefully, you know, the ramp-up starts from Q4, so it should start getting motivated.
Yeah, basically, see, Atali project has close to 440 KL of capacity which will get added, and out of which, you know, we have almost commercialized worth capacities of almost 340 KL. And we have actually had trial batches of the projects, some of the CDMO project also, which eventually we wanted to strengthen our site's manufacturing ability for future. So that activity has already been started. We had audits as well. So we are taking all the necessary steps to qualify the facility for future. And also we will transfer more and more intermediates also at the current site to fill up the capacity. So I think Q4, of course, we will do that. And then next year also, couple of quarters, we will still have to do this activity. And then the ramp-up will come. So that's what will happen. Of course, the expenses for that particular part of the block that we have commercialized, you know, we will have to start expensing it out. And it will, you know, start hitting the P&L also. So we, I think in next quarter results, we will have a fair bit of clarity about the number. Of course, we know the estimate, but we will give you more clarity then.
Sure, sure. So Atali, we should see substantial increase in, you know, contribution happening only from, you know, Q3 of next year is, you know, after all the validations plus qualifications are done. Is that the right understanding, or we should start seeing jump
next
from
year.
Q1 itself?
No. The jump will be overall this year to next year, there will be a jump overall in the intermediate business plus the CDMO CMO business, which this site is going to support. So that's what will happen. And as you have seen from last year to this year, we have anyway given a much higher forecast. So our current Vapi site was excessively used for the CDMO projects, which we want now Attali also to be utilized. And both the sites can then support the intermediate as well as the CDMO business.
Sure. And sir, secondly, on your guidance of exceeding 30%-40% growth, which will happen in which is expected for this year. So we are seeing the number of commercial projects also going up, from like on a quarter-on-quarter basis, we have seen a jump in that. Some of our innovator partners have also got approval during the last quarter. So given how things are on the CMO, CDMO side, how should we overall you have been talking about reaching targeting 1,000 crore revenue in the coming 2 to 3 years. So given how things stand currently, and with Attali also coming in, for 2027, on the CMO, CDMO side, should we see a substantial jump in numbers even compared to the growth that we are seeing this year?
Ankit, see, CDMO, CMO business is a long-term business. So 1 year here or there, but ultimately the numbers we will achieve and the numbers that we have targeted, we have mentioned earlier in our calls. It is always the launches and the strategy what innovators does. We have few very large projects that we are doing with the innovators, and it clearly depends on their strategy, how they are positioning, and how they are planning to ramp up overall. Because all the innovators during the start of the project and approval, anticipated approval, they bulk up the launch quantities. And the first, second year, sometimes we have to be a little bit cautious, so I don't want to give any commitment. But I think longer term, we see growth, and there is a pathway really to achieve that number with the existing running projects that we have. And of course, anything additional will also, projects that we get will also support us overall.
Sure, sir. And the last question on the API segment, earlier, in the previous calls, we used to talk about API achieving growth of around at least 10% this year also. But given how things are currently, in the first half, do you think it is possible to achieve that kind of growth for full year, or achieving last year's number itself becomes a tall task this year?
Yeah, I think there is, we are going to see what happens on those. But I think growth will be a little bit more challenging, looks like, because the last year's launches on which we had earlier promises, the customers are a little bit slow with higher inventory. And of course, they have the market position, but it's just the inventory correction. Last year, they bought 1.5 years inventory, and now they are saying that, okay, you wait, and then the competition has also entered. So that flux has to settle. We have partnership with the customers who had early launches of these kind of products. So we will continue to have that advantage. It's just a blip on a couple of projects that, of course, but we have more range of products. So there is a product mix effect also in certain products like steroids and stuff. The product mix is really changing, and newer products are getting more traction. For example, the newer salts of steroids are getting more traction. So we are also forming a strategy to commercialize and manufacture these products in much optimized way. So that will also happen in this year. So some validation batches have also taken up some capacity for that. So once we get over this, I think again we'll be back to the growth phase.
And sir, we had some very interesting launches on the API side in the oncology segment in 2027 and 2028. So with that happening, should we be back on our path to 1,000 crore in API segment, let's say in FY 2028?
Yeah, actually, you know, we are looking at debottlenecking our anti-cancer block as well in the second half of the, you know, later part of this year, early next year, which will be enabling us to further, you know, look at, you know, meeting the targets of these launches. And these are very good products, you know, that we anticipate good growth.
Sure, sure. And that will happen in 27 and 28, right? 27 launches
yeah.
are there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Vinayak Mohta from Burglar Rock Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, sir. So I just had a couple of questions around the CDMO side. In your presentation, you've talked about some emerging work happening on the mid-size peptides. Could you elaborate a little onto that? Are you working on this from scratch with an innovator, or how is it? And added to this, from the products that have increased on the commercial project segment, to 39. Mm-hmm. Are these all products which have come up from underdevelopment projects and they are ready for commercialization, or these are fresh commercialization opportunities that you've picked up?
Yeah, I think on the peptide, we are preparing our R&D to have a look at peptides. I think we'll start with the liquid peptides, which have little bit lower molecular weight, and then eventually we'll go up. And currently, it will take a little bit of time for us to do commercial projects on that peptide segment. But we have started discussion with this liquid phase work, and we are trying to promote ourselves as one of the, you know, partners that the innovator can do partnering with us for this segment. Coming to this CDMO, you know, launches and commercialization, you know, we have seen... you know, changes of almost 7-8 products have come to the commercial basket from earlier, you know, under development. And of course, you know, we had two products which have dropped. So this is basically part of the CDMO business, how it works. So there will be certain products which will drop, there will be certain products that will move to commercial, and then we have to keep on increasing the overall pipeline to get the sustained growth of the business.
Understood. And so is it fair to assume, I mean, from a trajectory standpoint, as and when the share of CDMO will continue to improve, as we have seen in other companies as well, CDMO would be coming at higher gross margins, thereby your EBITDA margin from a structural standpoint should be on an uptrend itself. Would that be a fair assumption to have from a longer-term perspective, not near-term anything?
Yeah, CDMO business has structurally higher margins. How it impacts the overall mix is depending on how other mixes are also growing and how much is the percentage of CDMO vis-a-vis the others. So that, of course, is a math which you will have to see how it goes.
Sure. The last question on the Xanthine side, you said that you will be able to ramp up to 9,000 tons by the end of Q4. The first two quarters have...
You know, the capacity will become 9,000
metric tons. Okay, understood. By Q4.
Q1, that we will take some time to increase it. See, we have increased the capacity from 5,000 ton to 9,000 ton, and in year one, we don't expect to fill it up. So there will be a growth, there will be a, you know, ramp up of that, and I think in next... 2-3 years, because see, we are taking up overall from the market share perspective also almost 25% of the market share, so which is very large, and now there to further grow and hold up the, that's going to be quite a task, you know, going forward.
Understood. Yeah, that was my clarification. And one last question. On the EBITDA side, you've talked about 8-12% growth. This is after considering all the costs from the Atali plan that will start hitting the P&L from this year on, this quarter onwards, right?
Yeah. This is standalone guidance that we have.
Understood. Perfect. Great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Tatsa. So my first question is on the CDMO side. If you can talk about what are the efforts that we are doing to increase the funnel, because at least in FY 2025, the total number of projects were 60 with 21 customers. And I think even at the end of H1 also, it remains the same. So I understand it's a long gestation thing, and there will be a lot of things in the pipeline. But if you can highlight on what are we doing to increase our funnel for future growth, let's say beyond two, three years.
Yeah, good question. So basically, in the CDMO segment, basically, we have started an office in Europe. So we have a representative in Europe which is promoting Aarti Pharma Labs' CDMO activity in Europe. And now we plan to put one person exclusively for the CDMO BD in North America. So with this geographical ground presence, I think they will be able to meet customers and convince them. Of course, we keep on attending all the trade shows, and we are trying to take also overall analytics help to keep a tab on the new launches. And see, the segment that we want to get after is the phase two to three when the phase two approval comes, and then it moves to phase three clinical. So we work jointly, and with the customers that we have, we are trying to increase our wallet share also with getting additional products. So these are the steps that we are taking to increase our overall reach within the CDMO industry.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Sir, second question on the API side. We talked about last year being the first year of launch and hence better pricing, and this year some pressure on a couple of products. So when we launch a new product, and most of the time for regulated markets, those products are mentioned as a source. So in that case, how does the pricing agreement work? Is it on a spot basis, or is there a pricing formula? And once you are there in as a source, my understanding was that the pricing pressure is significantly less. So is our understanding correct, or if you can throw some light on that?
Yeah. In a generic-sized product, which is generic-sized five years ago, all this holds true that with the generic-sized product changes, unless there is a big delta, doesn't happen. But when the product is launched, I think in a particular market, which is a big launch, what happens is that overall the margin, the pharmaceutical manufacturer, they vie for this market share, and there is a lot of competition. And whoever wins this gets the lion's share of the market. So that happens. And during that, everyone thinks that we will keep significant market share, and they keep stock. And then ultimately, if that doesn't happen, then they will have excessive stock which they have to correct. So that is a standard thing. So first 2 years of the launch are volatile, and after several years, we had this kind of a mega launch of few products which saw this kind of up-down. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, two clarifications, actually. So one, we talked about 8%-12% EBITDA growth. So that kind of, in a way, says that H2 will be 300-odd crores EBITDA even after the Attali cost coming in. Is that a fair understanding?
Yes, Dhwanil.
That is the target.
That is what we are basically targeting, and we are working hard to achieve it.
Okay. And then our long-term target of 15%-20% EBITDA growth for next 3 years, that remains intact, right?
No, no. 15%-20% EBITDA growth is quite steep. I think that is the number that we have not stated. Overall, I think profit growth, PAT growth, or PBT growth, we can target a good number. But I think EBITDA growth can't be 20% unless we get very big launches, and we are extremely lucky with certain things. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Prakash Kapadia from Kapadia Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just to get, you know, the growth perspective, you know, you have mentioned 8 to 12% growth. So that, you know, implies a 17% EBITDA growth in H2. So for this, given whatever has happened in H1 in the API segment, CDMO has to, you know, grow substantially over last year's base. And, you know, the last year H2 had a fairly decent base of CDMO. So what is going to drive growth in the near term? Is it just CDMO or, you know, API also normalizing, which will get this EBITDA growth coming in H2? And directionally, what kind of a, you know, CDMO contribution is possible, given that, you know, the Atali project will commence and, you know, be ready by the year end? Trial productions are obviously on. So next 2-3 years, what kind of a mix should be possible from the CDMO segment? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, see, the CDMO segment overall annual guidance we have given. And I think we have today on the call, we have mentioned that 30-40% growth guidance that we had given earlier, we will be able to exceed that. So that means that in the second half of this year, we will have substantial sales of the CDMO, which is going to be over and above, I think, the entire last year's value also, you know. So full year value. So that is what is going to happen, and we have orders in hand. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to give you a such kind of certainty.
Right,
and, right. That have been planned, and that has occupied our current manufacturing blocks for this earlier stage. What we are doing is, you know, we are also doing, say, for a few projects, we are doing 8-10 stages in-house. So if we have these kind of large orders, you know, the plants get occupied over a period of time or over a quarters, you know, for this activity. And the invoicing only happens once we sell these goods to the final customer. So that's what, you know, will accumulate the profit. And the way in which the accounting standard guidelines are there, you know, all this, we can't take it as WIP profit, you know, in the running quarter. Secondly, I think overall, you know, the we have guided that over last year the growth will happen, and of course we will see next year depending on the projects that we have, what kind of further growth that we will be able to generate in our CDMO business. I think as we go to the last quarter or towards that, you know, we'll be able to do more guidance on that. But we are sure that we will be able to grow that number in future, long term. Coming to API business will normalize in second quarter. So the first quarter, whatever the slowness was there, I think in the second half of this year, we will ramp it up.
Understood, understood. And lastly, sir, you mentioned, you know, capacity remains fungible. So just wondering, you know, how easy or difficult it would have been, given, you know, the kind of CDMO pipeline and the order book which we have, to, you know, do some of the CDMO sales at the cost of API? Because, you know, if API was slightly more margin, you know, dilutive and, you know, not so lucrative, so, you know, we could have avoided some of that sales to get certain CDMO also, or it was committed and we had to fulfill.
Prakash, you know, the CDMO sales always gets first priority. And then we look at the intermediate manufacturing. See, the API manufacturing has dedicated manufacturing blocks, and that's where we continuously do the production. It's just a question of intermediate manufacturing, how it shifts, basically, because we are backward integrated in our intermediates that we manufacture for our API business. So now we are also taking steps to also qualify, you know, outside suppliers for these certain intermediates also, so that in such situation, you know, we can buy those intermediates and take a call, whichever commercial call, which makes most sense for the company in future. So few products we will create a outsourced model. What has happened is that our current intermediate manufacturing capacity was quite occupied with all this, and now with the Atali coming in and with the validations getting shifted, you know, we will see more space where we can basically do the backward integrated intermediate manufacturing as well, so which will see growth also.
Okay, so that should enable CDMO opportunities or further growth in CDMO if that opportunity comes.
Or intermediates will also grow.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Ahmed Mahda from Unify Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Ahmed, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead. Since there is no response from Mr. Ahmed, we will proceed with the next question from Jash from Dalal Brocha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the CDMO front. Since six molecules have moved from the development phase to the commercial phase, and you have upgraded the guidance for the CDMO business this year, does this mean that a lot of that sales also comes in, or is the 30 to 40% exceeding the 30 to 40% guidance from the molecules that were approved earlier?
Yeah, it's basically a combination of everything. So we have, you know, done commercialization with more partners also on the existing products. Because as I had explained you earlier, each innovator product, there are multiple API suppliers for that innovator. And then depending on where we are plugged in as a supply chain supplier for their GMP or early stage intermediate, it depends on that. So we have qualified ourselves at multiple API suppliers for that particular innovator's product as well. So all these things is happening simultaneously, which creates opportunities for growth.
Okay. But then a lot of a much larger part would come in FY27. Is that a fair understanding?
No,
of the new molecules?
New molecules, as I explained, launch quantities have created the larger growth that we are going to see in this year.
Okay.
We have to see how the innovators continue for the coming years. Depending on the success of their product, they will do the more forecasting and they will plan next quantities with the supply chain.
But you feel that you can grow on this base in FY27?
Long term, the products that we are part of are part of the good, growable therapeutic area. So we are hopeful that these molecules will grow into good size.
Okay. And so the next question is on the RFP and the pipeline that we are working on the CDMO front. So you mentioned that we are looking at more of phase 2, phase 3 kind of molecules where we can enter in as a second source supplier. So how does this pipeline look? And what can we expect on the newer additions of any molecules that we can model up?
Yeah, basically we are working on developing our pipeline, and we are participating in several RFPs. It is for us to win those RFPs. So it's a constant strategic call of the innovator, which way they want to do, whether they want to outsource from India or US or which product they want to outsource. So we are participating in more RFPs, and we are confident that in future we will get more.
Okay, and which therapeutic areas are we focusing on?
No, we are agnostic of, we are doing small molecule, basically CDMO.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay, I'll take the other question offline. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Vikas Sharda from NT Asset. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Two questions. One is regarding the Forex loss booked in this quarter. So what is it coming from? And I mean, this is particular to this quarter or what has happened? And secondly, on the Ganesh Polychem, the joint venture, the first quarter had a plant shutdown, but this quarter again, they reported a loss. So what is the outlook looking like?
Hi, Vikash. Piyush here. On the first question on the forex loss, it is coming basically, as we all know, because of the sharp depreciation of rupee of almost more than 3 rupees in this quarter, 30th September as compared to 30th June. And this is coming basically on the loans that we have, foreign currency long-term loans that we have. We have 24 million of long-term loans. So basically, when I revalue it in rupee terms, so the liability increases, and that's what has caused mainly the forex loss. And on top of it, we have working capital loans also denominated in the foreign currency, mainly USD. So there also, because when I revalue it on 30th September as compared to 30th June, because of the rupee depreciation, the finance cost goes up.
Yeah, and basically, longer term, we feel that looking at the nature of business and almost 50% export that we have, as a strategy, company has decided to keep these loans forex open. Because longer term, otherwise, we will have to hedge it and sell more dollars. And by this, we are saving the hedging cost.
And this will happen. Some quarter, I don't remember any quarter where rupee has depreciated so much in one particular quarter. So that happens. So now if rupee stabilizes, then my next quarter cost would be lesser, the interest cost. The second question on the Ganesh Polychem, it is still the plant is getting started.
So basically, in the Ganesh Polychem, the plant got started. Actually, earlier quarter, there was loss. So this time, there is no loss. What has happened in the consolidation, we paid 3 crore dividend, which had a negative impact on. And the loss that we had in Ganesh Polychem prior Q1 and Q2 is much lower. So it's just barely 1 crore of loss or something like that, not a big number. Of course, accounting treatment as well as the depending on the transfer of ownership of consignments that happens. So CIF, if we are supplying by CIF, those profits we have not been able to get in the books in the current quarter. So it will still take, I think in this quarter, it will normalize.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dr. Neha from Abakkus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the increase in the overall inventories as of H1 F26. So just wanted to understand, sir, as you mentioned about the CDMO business, so as we book more sales from CDMO in H2, should we see more normalization there and thereby normalization in the overall working capital?
Yes.
So for the CDMO business, the inventory gets built up over a few months because the manufacturing is spread across many months. So it goes up and then it comes down when the sales is booked.
Yeah, it happens particularly if we have a very large customer order which has got concentrated in this coming quarters, so which has resulted in preparative manufacturing happening across earlier quarter and which has resulted in this increase and also impacting the overall results as well.
Understood, sir. So in line with that, should we also see a reduction in the overall debt because half of our increase in debt has come from the short-term debt?
So it will depend. See, it's not that the basically we have too many when we manufacture too many stages. So we are fully backward integrated in most of the intermediates that we manufacture, and those also get created or produced across multiple sites. So there will be always a basic level of inventory that we will have to you will always see on the financials. So it will come down.
Yeah.
So if you see last year, March, it was 540, some 550 crores. It has gone up to 625 crores. So again, you will see that kind of change. But overall, the working capital in absolute term will remain almost around same level. Because once my sale happens, then the debtor will increase correspondingly if I do a bigger sale.
Got it. That's helpful. And just lastly, on Ganesh Telecom, sir, you mentioned about the losses coming down, but how should one look at the Ganesh Polychem business, let's say for H2 in terms of outlook and let's say the year ahead in FY27?
Yeah, I think the business will stabilize. Of course, not at the last year's level, but last year we had bumper year on that. And we actually pushed a lot of inventory in the last year, Alifa, so that, we can prepare for the shutdown of this one quarter shutdown that we had. Actually, there are some expansion where we have also planned the cost reduction process going forward, and that also will take another one quarters to get standardized. And once that comes in, I think the profitability again will come back. So I think so the second quarter will be soft, but I think next year onwards again we will be back with reasonable profit.
Understood, sir. So FY27, should we expect that there should be a growth in the PAT versus FY25 level?
Yeah, at least it will be near FY25 level. It will be 80% to 100% of FY25.
Got it, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Next question is from Shubham Agarwal from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask, we have seen a sequential increase of about 13 crores from Q1 to Q2 in terms of our operational and employee cost. So how much of this is attributable to the commencement of Atali business, and how much incremental operational cost can we see in the second half of this year?
38 crore increase into operational. See, also one of the 13 crore. So what is happening is that QOQ, Q2 is the weakest power generation because we have solar power, which almost gives us an annual saving of the 30 crore plus. This quarter is the weakest quarter. And the last quarter is the, Q1 is the strongest quarter of power production. So that impact itself quarter on quarter is quite a large impact, and almost I think that impact was close to 3 crore rupees only in the solar generation dip that we happened over last quarter to this quarter. Apart from that, we had one-off charges for certain manufacturing facility upgradation which we did particularly for Xanthine. What we have done is we have to keep ourselves approved with the large customers for the both the facility fungibility we had created. For that, we had to spend a lot of money, so which has accounted for. And also in the earlier question, there was a question where how are you keeping these manufacturing operations running while still doing the expansion. So for that, we have to spend money, additional money on this activity to create, operation stability. So that has also resulted in some increase in the cost. Yeah.
Net, we would have seen like 5 to 7 crores of cost from Atali commencement, right, this quarter.
Yeah, Atali, we did not have because it was just, operated in the last week. So we have not had any major expense that has come in Atali. So Atali will have impact on the current quarter onwards.
Okay. And sir, how much impact will that be?
So we will have to see one quarter, I think, how much impact it comes to. It will have at least 4-5 crore impact every quarter. We still have to, get the real numbers because, early we are just starting, and of course minimum power bills have started coming in, and all those, how much we are able to apportion, it is an accounting call.
Understood, sir. So my second question is on the depreciation part. Will Q3 be like a full consolidation in terms of depreciation of the new Italy plant, or will that be Q4?
Q4 will be more, because we have done only part, capitalization, and I think more capitalization will happen towards the end of the year.
Okay, understood. And sir, if you can also comment on what will be the stabilized run rate of depreciation on a quarterly basis at Q4.
We will have to work that number.
That
and
number
we'll
have to work out.
Yeah.
Understood.
Because part of the project is still getting capitalized, and there are some projects which are in capital WIP. So we'll have to see when those get also operational or capitalized.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Mr. Umang from Avener Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on the Xanthin segment. We have seen a decent performance in this segment in this current quarter. So one is, can you share some light that how we expect to close on this segment and in this segment in this particular year? And second is that this growth in this particular segment is largely volume driven, or we have seen some better pricing also where margins have maybe have moved to our favor. So that's first question on Xanthin.
Yeah, basically the one of the manufacturing plant that supports the Xanthin manufacturing that we are classifying as a Xanthin manufacturing revenue had a turnaround in last quarter and which was completed, and now this quarter we had sales which originated out of that asset. Apart from that, of course, as we have mentioned, that we are increasing from 5,000 to 6,000 manufacturing, and slowly that increase has happened, so that has resulted in increased production. Also, with the qualification of both the sites that we have done for the large customers, overall pie and the margins have improved. So all this cumulative effect we are seeing on the revenue jump that has happened in the Xanthin segment.
So what we can understand is that this revenue jump has resulted in a decent margin, and the pricing fluctuations are not affecting the margins, and this segment should close on a growth for this year. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah. So I think CDMO and Xanthin segment, of course, in the first half also they have grown, and they will continue to grow in the second half. API, of course, as you know. Yeah.
Correct. So my second question was there only. So since you mentioned, and as per the your comments on throughout the call, you have some expenses or maybe front loaded because of the new this Italy plant coming in. So is there a fair understanding that Q3 or Q4 onwards, the expenses should get normalized, and this both API and CDMO growth that we anticipate both should start growing hand in hand in conjunction? Is that a fair understanding?
No, I think it's not. Everything can't get normalized because of the Italy coming in. I think Italy wrap up will happen in next year. So what happens is that it creates a space for us to do more intermediate manufacturing and more CDMO manufacturing in future. See, currently we are operating 600 KL at one Vapi site, and this is 400 KL addition. So it's a big addition that we have done. And then in future, if we feel that, we require additional block, we will put one additional block, which will be 200-300 KL additional. So we are not going to shy away from that as well.
Understood. But the reason I was asking you is that by next year onwards, do you see that this API segment should be back on the growth trajectory?
Yes. With the new launch,
yeah.
Anticipated on the anti-cancer segment, of course, it depends on how our partners are going to do. But we are hopeful. Of course, we have done the hard work. Now partners have to deliver. They have to capture the market share. And get us the API orders.
Understood. So One last question. From my understanding, we are in CDMO segment, we are mainly a second or a third source supplier. So do we expect in the near term, in the next 1 or 2 years, to become a single source supplier for any of the product that we have in the basket or maybe in the funnel that you anticipate?
No. There is API innovators will never keep a single source. We expect to become preferred source in future, but they always have couple of two, three sources as a supply chain security.
Understood. The reason I was asking that generally there is always a supplier who gets the majority share of the CDMO services, then it gets flowed to the second and third source. So was wanted to understand in that particular context.
So we are trying to become preferred source. So that's what the preferred source. Yeah.
Understood. Yeah, those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Shubh Mehta from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. You mentioned previously that we have e-bottlenecked some capacity on the resin side. Can you quantify what is the current monthly capacity over there, and also can you give us
I think it is not here. We have debottlenecked the capacity in Xanthin, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, as we undertake the expansion of Xanthin, we have on the finish line side, we have done some debottlenecking, and that's why, we have increased the capacity from 5,000 to 6,000. We are operating at 500 tons per month now this month.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so how much for pricing side? Is it like directional wise? Is there some revival of the resin side or is it stable?
I think the pricing is bottomed out basically. And of course, it has not moved beyond bottom significantly, but it has stabilized.
So second question was in a clarification towards Ganesh Polychem side. So, earlier we used to do 50 to 60 parts of run rate per quarter. And post that we had revamped our facility. So what kind of upgradation do we expect? First, supposed to increase our production capacity, and how about margins or profitability do we expect? Is there some improvement on that side as well?
Yeah, see, Ganesh Polychem is present in few segments which are dual-use kind of segments. So the resins and the polymer intermediate that they produce have usage in dialysis-based resins, or they have usage in drone technologies also. And now with that, so we are positioning ourselves to these growth markets and also positioning ourselves with the lowest cost possible. So all those exercises we have done in this first half by taking a larger shutdown in Q1 and then stabilizing and standardizing the production from the newer plants, modified plants in this current quarter. And also, we plan to shift our Dombivli site also in future. So that will also happen in this year. So with all these three events happening, new products, focus, cost reduction as well as the shifting, I think this year we had anticipated that this year will be a rough year for us. But I think next year, once this is done, we'll be back with reasonable numbers. Okay.
Thank you very much, participants. In the interest of time, that was the last question for the day. I would like to hand over the call to management for closing comments.
I would like to thank all the participants for joining our call. Thank you.
On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.